To the letter of James, as we return to our evening series on wisdom, life in wisdom's house. Return to James, and our focus tonight will be on verse 17, James chapter 3. But we'll begin reading in verse 13. Children, here are your questions for tonight. What does it mean to be gentle? 2, do wise people know how to be gentle with others? 3, can you name a time when someone helped you by being gentle with you? James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, this is the word of God. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and how it is filled with wisdom. And Lord, we confess that on our own, we are not wise. So we pray for wisdom from above. And we know that you will give it when we ask for it. And now as we come to the preaching of your word and we focus on this issue that you've put before us, we pray that you would give us wisdom and insight, not only to know what you mean, but how it applies to our lives. So send your Holy Spirit, we pray, in a special way to help the preacher and all of us who will hear as we come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, gentleness is an admirable trait in all people, whether they're gruff by nature or whether they're tender by nature. Gentleness is an admirable trait. And in fact, it is a part of wisdom. James puts it in this whole section of wisdom from above. True gentleness is a sign of true wisdom. Now, make no mistake, being gentle doesn't mean that we'll never be direct or stern, that we'll never have any time of confrontation. It doesn't even suggest that there will never be times of harshness. Sometimes we do have to be harsh and direct, but it needs to be tempered. But remember that if someone doesn't possess an element of gentleness, if it's not a part of who they are, something is missing in their spiritual life. It's so much a part of the Christian life that it is akin to meekness, which is a beatitude. It's akin to the humility that's required of everyone who exercises true faith. A gentle, forbearing disposition, discerningly gentle. When we think about gentleness, think about it as a part of who we are. Now, we have to grant that some are by nature inherently, by common grace, more gentle than others in their disposition. We also have to recognize that gentleness or the lack thereof can be instilled in people, in other words, learned. If we're treated gentle, for instance, as children, we'll probably adopt those ways. If we're treated harshly as children, we're going to react to that, probably negatively. And so we learn these things as well. But for the Christian, gentleness is something that comes to us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It becomes a part, at least a part of who we are, a component of who we are, a part of our being. I can say this with confidence because Paul makes it clear that gentleness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness. Now, gentleness isn't just something we think or feel, but it has to do with the way that we react to others. So we might say that gentleness on demand has to do with the way that we respond, the way that we deal with others. And so it's something that is both a part of being a Christian, but is a part of what we have to learn in the way that we deal with others. As always, the best example of something like this is Christ himself. He's the greatest example. His example towards others. You might say, wait a minute, we've seen that Jesus at times does have to be what we might say is harsh with others. We say that he can be very stern, he can be very direct, and that's true. But remember, with Jesus, it is always righteous. He always acts righteously. So don't be too quick to justify your harshness or your directness or your hardness, because we are not completely righteous like Jesus. Now, there's a time for righteous indignation, etc. I don't mean to keep making qualifiers, but we want to make sure that measure things up. But meekness, gentleness, was a very part of Jesus' character. Jesus was meek, but he was mighty, thoroughly masterful in the way that he balanced what he did. Jesus' description of himself is this: take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's Jesus' description of himself, that he is gentle. You think of instances. Think of the way that Jesus handled children. We're not given a lot of information, but I'm absolutely certain that when the children came to him, when he said, let the children come to me, that he was gentle with them, that he was kind to them, that he was tender towards them. Even though the Samaritan woman, for instance, at the well was living in sin, Jesus wasn't harsh with her, but he worked with her and he ministered to her. He called out her sin, but he was gentle with her. Nicodemus, you think of the conversation in John chapter 3, and we might think of it as sort of a dialogue and a debate, and Jesus didn't hesitate to be stern with Nicodemus to point out his error, but you sense this presence of gentleness in Jesus as he's instructing Nicodemus in the way of salvation. You think of Peter. How did Jesus deal with Peter after the crucifixion? Peter had denied him. We might have anticipated Jesus rebuking him harshly. How could you have done this to me? But instead, Jesus draws Peter in, asking about his love for him and commending him to serve his people. I'll give you one more. Think about doubting Thomas. Think about doubting Thomas. How gentle was Jesus and even providing for him the evidence that Thomas asked for? Wouldn't you think that he might say, how could you not believe me? I told you again and again that I was going to rise up from the dead. But he doesn't do that to Thomas. He ministers to him. Well, if those things seem a little bit distant from you, think about how God has dealt with you. Think about how Jesus deals with you. Very simply, ask yourself, have you been treated the way that your sins deserve? Think about your biggest problem. Before you became a believer, what was your biggest problem? Rebellion against God. You're an enemy to God. How did he deal with you? In love, he sent his son to die for you. He called you to himself through the gospel and by sending his Holy Spirit. But how about your sins since you've been a Christian? Has God dealt with you harshly? Or has he called you to come to him and repent and confess your sins so that you might be forgiven of your sins and restored after you fall? So ask yourself that question. You know what the answer is. He's been very gracious and kind and merciful. Now make no mistake, God, because he loves us, will discipline us. If God didn't love us, he wouldn't discipline us. But even when God disciplines us, there is this sense of the gentleness of love behind it, even though our discipline might be harsh sometimes. You might say, God has disciplined me harshly, but behind that discipline is this gentleness, this tenderness of love. That's the kind of discipline that's really effective. that's done with the best interest of the recipient in mind. It's not done in fury towards a child. It's not done in rage. It's not done in wrath, but in love. That's a hard thing for parents to learn, isn't it? That we're to discipline in love. Gentle spanking rather than an unleashing of anger and wrath. I may not have gotten a lot right in life, but one area where I'm very thankful, where I think this has actually worked, was in the area of a physical discipline. I know this is being recorded. I know it's being broadcast, but I'm not ashamed to say that I used to spank my children. If you know my boys, the three youngest, you realize that that had to stop a long time ago. They're much bigger than I am. But back in the day, with all of my children, when I had to discipline them, I had a spanking spoon, a wooden spanking spoon, and I very carefully decorated it, painted a little face on one side, a happy face on one side, and a sad face on the other. The sad side said, "No discipline is pleasant at the time." And you flipped it over, but, and I don't have it exactly right, but later you'll be thankful for that discipline. And that was a happy face. But we had to use it lovingly and carefully, but very, very controlled. Now, my children tell me that the spanking spoon wasn't the worst part. The worst part is what I call the hovering effect. So when they would go over my lap, I would hold the spoon there just for a little while before I applied it. They said that was really when it got to them. They knew it was coming, and then a sting would come. But it was a gentle sting. It wasn't to hurt their bones. It wasn't to hurt them in any permanent kind of way. It was to give that sting to say that what you did was wrong, and I want to set you on the right path. That's how God disciplines us. That's how we have to learn. But back to ourselves, so we think about how is God gentle with us in his love, even in his discipline, which is necessary, there's a gentleness behind it. Well, we need to develop that kind of godly gentleness in ourselves. Developing it in the saints. I'm sad to say that I know some believers who actually seem to take pride in being harsh and sharp. I'm even more ashamed to say, I've probably been that way myself over some issues, but I've seen it in more in Reformed circles with this harshness and this edge, the sharpness, not only for other Christians, but sometimes to unbelievers. People are almost proud about their edginess, like it's cool or something. It's words from Paul to Timothy. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities and to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Let's consider some examples. I couldn't help but think of a kind of dramatic example. Remember that these are saints that I'm referring to. It applies to males and females. Gentleness is not just a feminine trait. But I thought of a really radical contrast. You might remember the story of a man named Nabal in the story of David. And Nabal, as described in the passage, is a harsh and badly behaved individual. His name refers to folly. His own wife said he lives up to his name. He's a fool. His wife Abigail, on the other hand, was known as discerning and beautiful. And you may recall that Nabal was harsh toward David and his men. And Abigail was careful to minister to David and his men and showed them kindness and mercy, and in her gentleness provided for them. She waited till her harsh and nasty husband got drunk one night, woke up in the morning with a hangover, and she told him of her kindness to David, And he fell over and became like a stone. And 10 days later, the Lord struck him and he died. Okay, that's a little bit of a dramatic contrast. So let's look at some other examples. But there you have this gentleness and love destroying this harshness. But now consider a couple of things. Consider the Apostle Paul. What do you think about Paul? Do you think of him as a gentle person when you think about the image of the Apostle Paul? His ruggedness, his traveling around, his undergoing all kinds of things happening to his body, things happening to his life. What do you think about him? Paul could be tremendously gentle, and he encouraged other people to be that way as well. He gave the people at Corinth an option. The church at Corinth was a mess. Paul gave them an option. Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? He knew he could discern that one thing might be needed as opposed to the other, and he gives them the option. To the Thessalonians, he says, and I love this one, we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. The Apostle Paul, loving like a nursing mother and her children. Think of Paul's exhortation to leaders. Some of them were fishermen. Fishermen are generally rough people. This exhortation to leaders, by the way, here we are in the process of looking for officers in the church. They have to meet qualifications for leadership. I can tell you that I have seen in the church, having been in the church for 30-some years, that oftentimes harsh leaders can do a lot of damage. But here's what the apostle says to those who are going to be leaders. 1 Timothy, if anyone aspires to office of overseer, he desires a noble task, but must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. Again, in Timothy, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. 2 Timothy 2, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Then an exhortation to the body of Christ. Walk, this is Ephesians, walk in a manner worthy of your calling in humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then towards outsiders. This is Peter. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Pick up a theme here. What about in the family? Here's Peter to wives. Let your adorning be the hidden person of a heart with imperishable beauty, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. Families, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. There is a theme in the Christian life and in our sanctification of gentleness. Take heart. I've seen people change. I have seen angry unbelievers transformed by the power of God to very loving and kind people. I have seen ornery Christians sweetened through sanctification. Now, sometimes it may be mellowing with age, but I have observed some people who were harsh, even though they were believers, Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and that edge, that damaging edge, has been softened, and they become kinder and gentler without losing any element of their commitment to the truth. And so we need to work on developing this kind of gentle demeanor that the Lord calls us to. For the last few moments, I want to offer to you something in the line of practical process. The practical process of developing this gentleness as a Christian attribute, it should be in all of us to a degree, but we have to develop it. Remember, we can be straightforward, we can be direct, we can correct, we can be firm, we can critique. We might even need to be harsh sometimes. We even need to rebuke. We're called to do that when necessary, but that does not mean that we can't be gentle and develop the spirit of gentleness. It's a twin to meekness. First of all, that requires a real sense of ourselves before God. And so the very first thing is, remember who you are. You're a sinner, saved by grace. You're a sinner, saved by grace. And frankly, you don't have it all together. You don't have it all together. And you don't have the corner on good behavior, let alone on the truth. So remember who you are. Secondly, consider how the Lord treats you. How does the Lord treat you? What Christian doesn't love these verses from Psalm 103? And I'll just read it for you. You don't have to turn there. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. God deals with us with love and kindness and gentleness. Remember how God deals with you. Exercise patience. God is no more done with others in your life than he's done with you. And so we need to be patient with those around us. We need to learn to empathize, to put ourselves in other people's shoes. This is number four. Ask yourself what you prefer yourself, what you respond to the best. Three simple examples. Would you rather have someone yell at you or explain things to you? Would you prefer that someone disagree with you kindly or making you feel like they despise you because you don't agree with them? Would you prefer that someone would make you feel stupid because of something you did or something you thought, or would you prefer that they would nurture you in the right direction? You know what the answer is. Ask yourself those kinds of questions. Fifth, always keep in mind, what will benefit the individual or the cause that you're interacting with? It's untold how much inappropriate harshness has been a bad witness to those in our lives. It actually confuses people when we profess that we're Christians and we are harsh, and when we're cruel, it sends a terrible mixed message. And again, I can't help but refer to parents. When parents are harsh and cruel to their children and profess to be Christians and never admit their own faults and never apologize for being abusive or whatever, that really distorts things. And it actually can shape their view of God for years on end. So when we interact with others, let us be very careful that we have the other people's best interest in sight and solving a circumstance in view. Sixth, consider tone in your conversation. Just Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but for perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Consider, for example, the truth in love. The truth can be tough. The truth can be harsh. Truth can be hard sometimes, but genuine love sanctifies the blow. So speak the truth in love with gentleness behind it. And then finally, when it comes to our witness, consider the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider the edge of the gospel that boldly and unabashedly tells people that they are sinners in great danger of trouble in this life and trouble in eternity. It's a hard message. It's a true message. It might sound even a little harsh when we think about eternity. But always remember that the gentleness of the gospel is the offer of salvation through the merits of Christ for endangered, helpless souls. That's the tender love of God extended in the gospel to guilty sinners. Well, if we don't have gentleness in us, perhaps we haven't really experienced the gentleness of God in His grace towards us, and that's a whole other issue. Perhaps we don't appreciate it. If we do know the grace of God, perhaps we don't appreciate it enough. And so I encourage us to go back again and again and remember the gospel and remember that you're saved by grace. And that's a gift of God through His tender mercy and His kindness towards you. And then in turn, may that grace be reflected in our lives. Gentleness is a mark of grace, and may our gentleness be evident to all those that we know. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you so much for your mercy towards sinners like us. We know what we deserve. At least we think we know what we deserve. We can't really fathom what we really deserve. But we understand that in our rebellion against you, that we deserve your wrath. But in your great love for sinners like us, you sent your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place that we might be reconciled to you. Lord, even as your children, we confess that we are so often in rebellion against you, we are still so sinful. But Lord, we do pray that in our sin, it would be your kindness that would lead us to repentance. We pray that you would not discipline us in your wrath, but that you would bring us along in your kindness. And so we pray that we would be compliant to your will, that we would submit ourselves to you, that we would delight in your ways, that you might delight in your children. Lord, help us, knowing your grace, knowing your gentleness towards us, to develop that spirit in ourselves, to let that grow in us as you have indwelt us with your Holy Spirit, as you've given us the fruit of the Spirit, even this one.